Today's scripture comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. So here we go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts, Lord, be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, we thank you in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, kids, have fun today. All right. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Brady Valconi. I'm a ruling elder here at Ridge. Probably been a ruling elder here for about 10 years. So you've probably heard me once or twice since then. And in my notes here, I have brief introduction, probably longer at Vespers, because most of you all know me here. But I've grown up here in Paradise, and I teach here in Paradise. My wife is a lifelong Paradise resident, so I'm glad to be here today. I'm excited to be here today. It's always a good time preaching. It's always good to spend extra time in the Word. Studying it kind of at a deeper level than maybe your daily reading. So it's always a blessing. So I want to begin by kind of rewinding a little bit back to last week. Because if you were here last week and you heard Brian's sermon about the door of the sheep, today's scripture is directly after that, right? The door is 7 through 9 and today is 10 through 15. So really, the two of these butt up against one another, and they build off of one another. So one thing last week that Brian's message struck me was that I never considered the fact that there a person is the door. When Jesus is talking about I am the door, in my mind's eye, I've always thought about it's a physical, rectangular door, right? But Brian is, if you were here last week, you heard he's talking about a pen, and the shepherd is actually the door blocking and protecting the sheep. And so I appreciated that, because I think that Jesus is in a way saying, I am the door of the sheep, but let me do you one better. I am also the good shepherd too, right? So these two are playing off of one another. It was funny, because I'd been thinking like, okay, Brian's going to be talking about 7 through 9, and I am going to be taking it, to the next allegory that Jesus is going to use. And I thought there was going to be some overlap, and I was kind of nervous about that at first. And then Brian, actually, I'm in my car on Monday morning getting ready to leave my house, and I get a text message from Brian apologizing for maybe stealing any thunder or words that I was going to use. And, I thought about that before, and I realized, actually, it was good. It was good that kind of there was this lead-in from, the door to the Good Shepherd. And so I really didn't have anything to be nervous about. I didn't have anything to be, to feel like, oh, well, what am I going to say to add anything to what he had said last week? So there was no thunder stolt. There was no words taken. So it was a good thing. In teaching, we call this scaffolding, right? You have something small, and then you build upon it, right? And it gets larger and larger and more complex and more in depth. And so I think Jesus is purposely kind of doing that here, right? In this allegory, the story or the allegory of the Good Shepherd, we'll see that it kind of builds off of what Jesus is talking about, because he is referring to a, you know, a person, just as the door is a person. And I'd kind of thought, you know, all the I am statements, they're not, there's no people, it's the vine or the light or, you know, whatever they are, the door, well, the door is a person too. So they do build off of one another nicely. So I appreciate that. So let's go ahead and I'm going to do something that I appreciated when Pastor Tom was here, right? One thing that he always did, and I always liked because it was predictable, we always knew it was going to happen, was the noticings, right? And if you've been here, like, he always liked the noticings. It's actually a good skill too, right? You look, you read the whole chapter, you read the whole passage or whatever you're reading, and then you kind of get a good basic understanding of it, and then you start to drill down, right? And you notice some things that stick out to you. So the first things that I noticed was just really how many times shepherd or sheep or lamb is referenced in the Bible, right? John, in his letters to the churches, he uses the term over 30 times, and just John does. Paul talks about elders as being shepherds, right? And that's the role of the elder is a shepherd. And even just the word sheep and the reference to the animal, over 300 times that animal is referenced in Scripture, right? So if we don't talk about sheep or shepherds or lambs, then we don't have like this really rich analogy that Scripture uses, both Old Testament and New Testament. We pull that out and we don't have that. So I found a few notable examples I wanted to reference. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, I shall not want. That's a popular one. I'll be referring back to Psalm 23 later. Later in Psalms, number 100, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Isaiah says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And Brian talked about how naughty sheep can be sometimes, and they go astray, and so that, you know, was something he mentioned last week. And then Revelation 7 was in our liturgy here at the beginning of the service, and it says, for the Lamb at the center before the throne will be their shepherd, right? So we get a kind of a double whammy there, right? So and then last thing I thought about immediately when I was assigned, or I volunteered for this, so I wasn't. We were asked if we would like to, right? And I volunteered. The one thing I immediately thought of was like, oh my gosh, like how many shepherds are in the lineage of Jesus? Abraham, right, plucked from obscurity as a shepherd, just off in the Middle East somewhere, right? Isaac, his son, Jacob, his son, even David, as a young man, was found in the fields, the youngest, you know, son of the, you know, least tribe of Israel. He's out in the field, and he was a shepherd. So Jesus's lineage is even filled with shepherds, right? People that were tending a flock of sheep. So I think this allegory is valuable. The idea that Jesus is our good shepherd, it's key, right? You can't remove them from Scripture and have the same, you know, story that we have here. So for today, I have 2 points, okay? 2 main points. And those 2 points that I'm going to make are, and by the way, there's so much that can be said. I mean, you can make anything, any one line, you know, any one word in this allegory. The deeper you go, you can make a whole sermon series off of just off of this itself, right? But I'm going to just focus on 2 things today. The first is I'm going to talk about is the shepherd owns the sheep. He owns the sheep. Okay, and then the second point I want to talk about is that he knows his sheep and he calls them. Okay, and I've heard today, and maybe it's just I'm hyper aware of it, right? But I've already heard many references to being called by the shepherd. And you know, Bob even mentioned, you know, he heard the shepherd's call and he must follow, right? So that's awesome. So, all right. So I want to start with the shepherd owning the sheep. Okay, so the first thing I noticed when reading and studying today or this week, okay, is, I didn't do this all in one day. is the word good, right? And any commentary that I read, description and study of this allegory is that the word good is not what we mean as good, right? This is English is not as precise a language as other languages. And good, we think of it as being you're proficient at something maybe, or you know it something well, okay? But the good, the term that they use means excellence, right? You could call this a capital G good, right? It means excellence. It means that Jesus is, he is one of a kind, right? He's in a class of his own when he's talking about being the good shepherd. Okay, and this is going to come to play here in just a little bit. So Jesus owning, or the good shepherd owning the sheep. It begs the question, how did the shepherd come to own said sheep? Okay, and we sang about it today, right? We read it in verse 11, right? And then again, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep, right? And then later on, Jesus says in 14, I lay my life down for the sheep. So it smacks you right there, right at the beginning. And if you came to church today to hear the gospel, this is it. Okay, if you came to hear today, here's the gospel. Simply put, Jesus owns the sheep because he purchased them through his blood when he died on the cross. And a side note really quickly, and I'm not going to get too deep in it, but I thought it interesting that in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, sheep died for the shepherd, right? But under the New Testament with Jesus, the shepherd dies for the sheep, right? So there's kind of a bit of a role reversal there. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that that you can maybe think about and meditate on later on. But there's many adjectives that we could use to describe Jesus's his sacrifice, his death, right? Humiliating, brutal, redeeming, right? But the one I want to focus on today is willingly. He willingly died, right? He willingly gave up his life for us. Specifically, the text says he laid it down. Okay, and there's a lot that can be said about this. But most shepherds, right? An ordinary shepherd, a shepherd out in the field with his flock, would likely willingly risk his life to save the sheep, right? That's why he's out there. The shepherd is out there to risk his life. Different from the hirelings that Jesus talks about here later on. But he would risk his life. But we're talking about Jesus as the good shepherd, right? If an ordinary shepherd dies, the flock is still in danger. The flock can still be, can be scattered, right? As Jesus talks about. But the good shepherd, and this is kind of why Jesus is in a class of his own. The good shepherd willingly lays his life down. So in a sense, Jesus as the good shepherd, his death protects the sheep, right? Whereas the death of an ordinary shepherd would not protect the sheep. So remember, Jesus is not ordinary. This is not a typical shepherd, okay? So this is why I wanted to point out that Jesus as the good shepherd is, it's a different death, right? And we all know that it's a death that died and redeemed us, and it saved us, it protected us. Just as the door protects the sheep, right, from last week, the death of the good shepherd actually protects the flock as well. And if you look at Matthew 28, and when it says he gives himself, right? So is in he's talking about in verse 11 and 14, the shepherd lays down his life, right? He's talking about laying himself down. And if I was reading and I saw some cross references to Matthew 20:28, and I can read it for you, or if you want to go there yourself. Here Jesus is talking to the mother of the sons of Zebedee, right? And he's talking to her and he's saying, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Okay, so that kind of informs us about what Jesus is talking about when he's saying the shepherd lays down his life, right? He's, and I think Matthew 20 takes place technically after John 10, but we see that Jesus explains what he means by dying for the sheep, by laying your life down for the sheep. He came to serve, not to be served. And if you contrast that with the hirelings that Jesus talks about, and I don't want to really talk too much about the hirelings today, but Jesus is describing what a hireling would do, right? Right after the he's describing what a good shepherd would do. They flee. They run away, right? They don't care about the flock. They don't care for the flock as the good shepherd does. The hirelings don't have the love for the flock that the good shepherd has. And so Jesus is kind of drawing this direct parallel because he's talking really to a group of Pharisees right now during this time. He had been talking to them. If you go back, if you rewind to chapter 9, he's healing a blind man, right? Jesus had just healed a man who was blind, and the Pharisees have been interrogating him. And as Brian mentioned last week, the Pharisees kick him out of the temple, right? And so Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and what they've just done. And so he's really talking to the Pharisees. And if we read on to later on down to if you look up at the beginning of chapter 10 in verse 5, it says that, you know, they didn't even understand what he was saying at the time, right? So he's talking about the Pharisees. He's drawing a direct parallel saying, you don't care for your people. You don't, you know, you're a hireling, right? You're more like a wolf and a robber than you are a shepherd. So he's pretty harsh with the Pharisees. So that would be my first point, that the good shepherd dies for his, or he purchased the flock through his willing sacrifice, his willingness to lay down his life as a covering for his flock, and not just simply a futile death, right? So next, my second point for today is going to be that the shepherd knows his sheep and calls his sheep. So the first thing I want to also point out in here, kind of the key word, is the word know. Right, and so in English we think that knowing something is like an awareness or even a knowledge of something, kind of know knowledge, right? But this isn't the meaning that Jesus is talking about. It's not in the Greek or in the Aramaic or Hebrew. Okay, it's not the word know is not how we would perceive the word know. The word know here it involves like an intimate relationship. It's a deep understanding of the subject, whether it's, you know, in this case, it's the sheep. So to be known by the shepherd is not kind of merely to be counted or to kind of take a head count, you know, like I do in class when I want to make sure everyone's there. I just count heads and make sure that everyone's, you know, present, right? That's not the kind of know that Jesus is talking about. It's not even knowing, like, all their names, which is, you know, important, right? And Jesus can call us all, each and every one of us by name. He called Abraham by name. Right, he called Mary Magdalene by name. Right, he calls people by name, but this is knowing the nature of each sheep. It's a deep understanding. It's a deep knowledge of a personal, intimate relationship. So I kind of think of this, you know, and like I said, I'm a teacher here at Paradise High. I kind of see a dim reflection of this in my own classroom. Right, I can know how many kids I have. Right, I can know, you know, first period's got 26, seventh period's got 28, right? I can name off the number, right? But that doesn't mean anything. That's just a number. Okay, that's not a really good know. I can know all the, you know, students' names, right? And that maybe is a little more important, okay? But where the connection comes, when I really want to make a connection, if I really want to kind of make this deep connection with the student, I have to know their nature. I have to know their personality. I want to know what sports they're into. And when I have that connection, it's special. And you know it, right? You can feel that connection. And, you know, when someone's having a bad day, I can tell the moment they walk into class, right? If I know that student, I know just by how they're walking, I know how they're, by, you know, how they respond when I say hello to them when they walk through the door. I can tell that they're having a bad day, right? And if they have that same connection with me, then they also feel safe to, you know, confide in me, like, hey, you know, I had a fight with my mom this morning, or, you know, my grandpa died, or I can see, like, they're super excited, right? Like, my brother, you know, I had one girl this week, you know, I could tell she was in a good mood. I was like, hey, you're in a good mood, what's going on? She's like, oh, my brother, he's graduated from the Navy, and he's going to be calling me today. Right? He's going to call me and tell me he's a sailor. Right? And so she was really excited about that. So I could tell. And it was, I could kind of celebrate with her about that because she was excited to see that. And that's cool. And that's just a very basic connect, you know, basic reflection of this relationship between the sheep and their shepherd. And if you have that relationship with your shepherd, right, you know how special that is. Another thing that I noticed is that Jesus is directly comparing the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd to the relationship between the Father and the Son. Right in verse 14, he says, or sorry, in verse 14 through 15, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and mine own know me. And then in verse 15. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Right? So it's not a one-to-one thing. Right? There is no comparison to, there's no earthly comparison to the relationship between the Father and Son. Right? But the shepherd and the sheep is one that we can kind of understand, just like my relationship with my students is something that kind of reflects that dimly, but it reflects that. And it's kind of cool. I wrote down here that it's this relationship. I wrote like two words that to me that described it were astounding and encouraging. Okay. I thought about it, and the reason why it's astounding is that this relationship that we're supposed to have with Jesus is modeled after that between Christ and the Father, right? The Son and the Father. And I think that's really cool those two relationships are supposed to be modeled after one another. Not an equal. They're not equal, but it's modeled after each other. The other thing, and this could be good or bad, it's encouraging to know that the Good Shepherd knows me so well and so deeply that he still cares for me. Right? That there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can say if we're called by the Shepherd and if we're his sheep, that his sacrifice doesn't cover that, right? His blood does not cover that and pay for. And that being related and to being known by the shepherd is also a realization that he also calls us by our name. So in John 10:3, so just above, okay, he talks, Jesus is still talking about shepherd, right? The scene is still the same as a shepherd. Or a sheep and a shepherd relationship. So he says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And Jesus is saying this to the Pharisees that are listening, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and he will call them out and they will follow. Okay, this means that not only will the sheep follow, or not only will the sheep of the shepherd's flock listen, but the idea is that we will also obey. Okay, so that's it. It was short. It was sweet. But before I wrap up, I wanted to leave you with a few things that I was thinking about, because I always want to have some sort of application for the students or for you all when we're teaching. So one thing I wanted to think about was the significance or the meaning in your life in a spiritual sense, okay? What does this mean, okay? What does it mean to you that the blood of your shepherd or the blood of my shepherd was spilled that so we could be both safe and protected? Okay, that's one thing. The second thing that I was thinking about is how cool it is, or how does it affect you that knowing your shepherd's voice, if you truly know your shepherd's voice, if you are a sheep of his flock, and the shepherd knowing you, how does that alter the way you view your purpose or your walk in life? Right? Do you listen for his voice? And when you hear it, do you obey it? Right? As Bob had said, he heard his shepherd's voice and he felt like he was compelled to obey. Does it give you, I'm sure it gives Bob, and I'm picking on you guys, I'm sorry, but you opened yourself up to it. but does it comfort you knowing that, as verse 4 says, he leads them out, right? He doesn't, God is not saying, see you later. You know, the shepherd's not saying, hey, sheep, go out there, right? Go out there and find some grass, right? Or go find a green pasture. He's not calling us to forge on ahead, right? He's actually calling us out. And by calling us out, meaning he is leading us, right? He is preparing our way. He's leading us out there. So anything that we do, if we follow Christ, it's an invitation to do the work that he wants us to do with him, right? The shepherd will be there with us. And I want to refer back to Psalm 23, because I think this is a good example of what the shepherd is talking about. And most of you all would probably know this, or at least by hearing it, right? I'm only going to read a little bit of it. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me, right? And that's a comfort to me, right? That's an encouragement to know that no matter what I'm doing, if I'm following the shepherd, he's with me. No matter how crazy it might seem, no matter how much resistance we get from other people in our life that maybe don't know the voice of the shepherd, that's a comfort, that the shepherd is with us. He will protect us. He has laid his life down to purchase us, and we are his. So that relationship with our good shepherd is a comfort for me. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then Brian will come up and lead us in communion. Lord, we thank you for your willing sacrifice on the cross, Lord. We thank you for the blood that purchased us, Lord, from certain death from wolves and robbers, Lord. Lord, we thank you for calling us and inviting us to work in the work that you would have us do with you, alongside you, Lord. Thank you for leading us and bringing us along with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you continue to call us, Lord, and I pray that you give us all the strength, the wisdom, the insight, Lord, whatever it is that we need to answer your call, Lord, and to follow you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.